done it, to simply go through the motions and do what's right, and their hearts be far from God. Jesus criticized people. He said, "You praise me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me," he said. It's easy to do. And we come here in the sixth chapter of Matthew, and again, Jesus is dealing with attitudes of the heart. And here, especially tonight, I want us to look at, with God's help, the motives in which we live the Christian life. What's motivating us to live for the Lord? What's motivating us to pray, to give, to fast? What are our motives for living the Christian life? Motives are extremely important. Paul says, and I'll read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, speaking of the Lord, he says, "Who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts, then each one's praise will come from God." And I would think that when everything's said and done, that we will be surprised maybe at people we've seen from a distance and we thought did a great work, and maybe in one sense they did, and yet they were in it for the wrong motives, at least a large part of it. And I think we'll be surprised when God reveals the hearts and God gives rewards out in heaven, because there will be awards given. There will be rewards for Christians. I think we'll be surprised on that day, because God will show the heart of maybe someone we never thought of, but may have been, because of our dullness of heart and mind, the greatest Christian we've ever been around, and we didn't even know it. God sees what's done in secret. That's good and bad, depending on our point of view. Hopefully it's very good for us as Christians. God sees the hidden things as well as He sees the things that are in light. He sees these, and we'll stand in judgment for these things. But I wanted to ask us a question as we begin tonight, and we look here in Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. I want to ask a question, and it's just simply this. For what reason are we doing good deeds? Or better yet, for what reason are we living the Christian life? Behaving as Christians. What is our motives behind our actions? Because motives certainly matter. And I want us to look, we'll look at some scripture here that Jesus says. Jesus gives us three examples here in this sixth chapter. I want us to look at these things. I want us to notice first what He says here starting in verse 1. Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men." Now, let's pause there. If you read that, and if you think back to chapter 5, you may think, now obviously it's not a contradiction, but you may be tempted to think, now what is going on here? Because Jesus says in chapter 5, He says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And then again He says here in the first part of chapter 6, He says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men." Now, what is He getting at? Look at the next part of that verse. "To be seen by them." You see, it's all what the motives in that person's heart is. And He goes on to say in verse 1, He says, "Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." What's the difference there? The difference is the motive. One man does something to glorify God, and one man does something here that Jesus is speaking about to glorify Himself. And that's just what He says in the second verse here. He says, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men." The same word there. In chapter 5, Jesus says we are to glorify the Father. And here, these men are doing good deeds. They're giving, But it's not to glorify the Father. That's not their motive. Even though God can still get glory from them. It's not their motive. But their motive is to be honored before men or to be glorified before men. And how many things that's done in the name of the Lord is done for the wrong motive. Notice again what he says in verse 2, as we just go through a few of these at the beginning. He says, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues." They wanted to be seen. They wanted people to know how great they were. They wanted people to see their giving and to see their good works, and they wanted the praises of men. And look what Jesus says. He says that they may have glory for men. Look what he says. "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Now, what's he mean there? Jesus says this. He says, if you want to give things to be praised by men and be glorified of men, Jesus says you'll have your reward. If the only reason I stood up here and preached was for people to think well of me and to be glorified, if that was the only reason, I would have my reward. And then I would die and go to hell. If that's the only motive of my heart, the only reason I live the Christian life, and the only reason I attempt to do good things is to impress men and impress people who are watching me and to look great in the sight of men. If that's the only reason, when I die, I'll go to hell because I'm lost and I do not have a relationship with God. Look at the end of verse 1 again. "Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." You see, I can preach. I can even preach truth, and you can witness, and you can witness of truth, and you can do good things. But if the only motive of our heart is to be seen by other people, we have no reward with our Father. And if we have no reward, we're not going to heaven. The Bible speaks about God saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And for God to say that to us, we have to do something well and be faithful, because God's not a liar. He's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Like the hypocrites here, like the Pharisees of their day, if my only motivation in the Christian life is for the praise of other people, then I'm a hypocrite and I'm lost. But look what Jesus says in verse 3 and 4. He says, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." You see, some of you here, almost all of us may not know some of the good things you do to your family. You love them. You show love and compassion. But I assure you, God is going to see you one day. And God will reward you one day. Do not become weary in well-doing. Amen. Continue to do what God wants you to. Whether the world sees us, whether even our own brothers and sisters in the church see you and acknowledge you, do what is right and do it for the Lord. Why? One reason, because it pleases God and He will reward you one day. He will see what is done in secret and will reward you on the day that really matters. There's only one day, in one sense, that really matters. And that's when we stand before God at judgment. Everything, in one sense, in a true sense, everything that I do and that you do in the Christian life should be lived in light of that day. I am going to stand before God and give an account. Every sin that we're tempted to give into, we should think of it in light of the day of judgment. I am going to give an account on judgment day, whether I'm lost or whether I'm saved. I'm going to give an account on judgment day for the sins that I've committed. And I like what one man said. He said, just to go off on this just for a second, he said when speaking of sin, being tempted of sin, he said that we should view sin the way we will view it. When we're tempted to sin, he said we should view that temptation and view that sin the way we will view it in an hour from now. What's he mean by that? We know, sadly, as Christian people, what it is to give in to sin at times and to do wrong. And we know the misery we can feel a short time after that. And the discipline of God that He lovingly gives us and corrects us. But this man was saying, when we are tempted, think ahead to how horrible it's going to be and how miserable we're going to be because of what we've done. And think ahead and view our sin in that light. And by God's grace, keep ourselves from that sin when we're tempted. These people here, Jesus says, if you do it secretly, if no one else in the world knows about it, God's going to know about it. And when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter what our spouses think. It doesn't matter what a best friend thinks. All that matters is what God thinks about us on the day of judgment. What does God think about us? Again, look in verse 5 and 6 here. Jesus says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing. Now, I prayed standing a few minutes ago. Is there anything wrong about that? Well, there may have been, but not necessarily. The point that Jesus is making here is not what posture of prayer is wrong, but He's speaking about the heart here. He says, in verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Now you go down, whether you're in Dixon, maybe you go down to Nashville and there's somebody there and they want you to pray for them and they're sincere. Do you have to move off the street to pray? That's not what he's speaking about here. Look what he says next, that they may be seen by men. You see, the only motivation they had for praying was so men could see them and say to themselves, boy, what a prayer he prayed. You know what? We need to get that guy to pray more. Did you hear the words that he used? Amazing. Now, we do, in one sense, need to think of others as we pray, to be edifying to others. But if the only motivation in our heart when we pray is to look great and to look like a very holy and righteous man before the people we pray before, if that's our only motivation for those people we pray before to make ourselves look great, we're not praying. We're not even praying. We're not even speaking to God if that's our motivation. And I'll speak for myself. For one who prays publicly often, that is a temptation. To look great, to look powerful. Man, what vocab? That's a temptation that must be resisted and hated and repented of. Because that is something that we can fall into. We do not pray to please men. But look at what Jesus says. He says in verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly, he says. The motives. Who do we pray for? I don't pray to men. If I'm praying to men when I pray, I'm not praying to God. But I pray to God. And whether anyone ever finds out that I was praying, whether anyone ever finds out that you're praying, it doesn't matter. Why? Because God knows. And God will reward you. It's the heart, the motives. What is motivating us to pray? What is motivating us to do Christian service? What is motivating us to live for the Lord? And then he says in verse 16, 17, and 18, the third example, he says in verse 16, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Now listen to that. They fast. I don't know how long they go, but they want to make sure everyone knows that they've suffered a little bit for the causes of Christ. They want to make sure everyone knows what they've been going through and how hard they've disciplined themselves. And they want to make sure everybody can see their face, that they're in pain and they're hungry and they've lost weight. They want everybody to know these things. And look what Jesus says at the end of verse 16. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." What's he speaking about there? You want people to know that you've been fasting and you're disciplined, you'll have your reward. You will appear that way and they will notice you. And if you die in that state, you'll die and go to hell. Because that's the only reason this person was fasting. It was not for a legitimate need. It was not to please God. They were fasting so men would praise them and to glorify them. Verse 17, "But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." We say to ourselves, "But if I fast and nobody knows about it, what good have I done?" We are not fasting for other people, but we're fasting for God. And what I mean is we're not fasting for other people to praise us, but we are fasting. We may be fasting for someone's need. And that you don't always have to fast from food. There's different types of fast. But here he's speaking about food. But we're fasting for the Lord. We're fasting to Him, I should say, to the Lord. He sees us and He rewards us. You see, the motive is so important. And thinking back to Matthew 5:16, when Jesus says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." What is one application from the verses that we've read to look back at that and say, how can I glorify God by my good works? And one way we glorify God by our good works is for men not to see who did the good works. That is one way we glorify God. We do the good works, and I'm not saying it's always wrong for someone to know. I'm not saying that. But we do. In our heart, we don't want to be praised. And in one sense, we do it secretly. But in our hearts, we want to please God, we want to help someone, and one way we glorify God by what we do is to let men see what is done, but not to know who did it. That is one way that we glorify God with our good works. Now, we've looked at this, we see that if we are living the Christian life, it should not be lived for our praise, should it? Now, I'll venture to say this because I'm right. All of us, at least to some extent, are tainted with sin in our heart and are tainted with pride. So when we judge ourselves, it's not, am I 100% the way I should be? Because it should be, we should want to be that way. We should want to be a completely pure heart. We should want all our motives to be completely pure. That should be our desire as Christian people, yes. But we must recognize not all motives will be pure. We need to keep that in mind. But if the only reason I'm living the Christian life is to please people, if that is my motivation, if that's what I'm doing, all my works are done for that, I desperately need to repent of that and say, God, oh, have mercy on me. And have mercy on my motives. Have mercy on my heart and change me. But we need to be careful about that, don't we? As in Christian service, we need to be careful about where is our heart? Where are my motives? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Now, why should we be doing what we're doing? Why should we be? Obviously, one reason is because it's right. This is the right thing. Regardless of how I feel, I need to do the right thing. Yes, I think that's true. But one reason, and there's two main reasons I want to look at. One reason that we do what is right and that we do obey God is for the good of other people, for the good of men. I think, you know, just think about a sibling you have who's in trouble, who's fallen. Maybe it's a family member, whoever it might be, and they've fallen and they're in trouble. Shouldn't our heart go out to them? Shouldn't our passions be aroused? Shouldn't our love be kindled within us? Look at them. They're in trouble. They need help. That should what? Should lead us to give to them if they are in need. That should lead us to pray. And if it's a serious enough issue, it should lead us to fast for them. Why? We have a love for them. I love people. We love people. And we should be led to do what is right because we care for one another, shouldn't we? And we need to be praying for that kind of love in our hearts to be kindled and to be set on fire. That love could just fill our hearts and fill our soul to lead us to do what is right to one another. One reason we do what is right, one reason we obey God, one reason we live the Christian life is to help other people. That's one reason we do the things that a Christian is supposed to do. And another reason should be obvious. The other reason is, and this is the primary reason, for man should be the secondary reason. The primary reason we live the Christian life, what should motivate us primarily, is because we should do everything for God. And we should desire to please God. We should even desire, and I'm not saying that I don't desire to repent because I hate sin. I'm not saying I don't desire to repent because I don't want to go to hell. Because I think the fear of hell, though it should not be the only motive, it is a true motive, the Christian life. Jesus said in chapter 5, He said, it is better for you to cut your hand off and pluck your eye. He said, it's better for you. It's okay to think that way. Now, that shouldn't be the main motive. That shouldn't be the only motive. But that is a motive. But we should do everything for God. I just want you to think just for a moment. Think about if you've got a good earthly father who is a good man, who loves you. And think about your sibling. You have a sibling maybe. And that sibling is disrespecting your good earthly father. And that sibling is speaking ill of him and doing wrong. Now let me ask you, should that not set our hearts to some righteous anger? Why? Why? Because our father deserves more than that. Even from his own son or daughter, our father deserves more than that. He does not deserve to be disrespected like that. And that should set our hearts and our minds going. But even more, when we see the name of God being disrespected, and we see the world mocking the Lord Jesus Christ and saying all types of things that are evil, should that not motivate us for the name of God? Should that not motivate us to give and to pray and to fast at times? That should motivate us. Why? Because God's name is being disrespected. And as His children, we love the name of God and we want it to be considered holy because it is holy. So we do, the greatest reason that we live the Christian life is because who God is and what He's done for us. And we love Him. I want to live for Him because of what He's done for me. You that are Christians, just think about where God has brought you from. You that maybe are in sin right now and playing with sin and about even to give in. Think about even how merciful God's been to you, even at this time. And it is the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. And think about how kind, even us who are Christians, think of the times we've disobeyed God and think of the times over and over that God's come to us in fatherly discipline, with love, and brought us back to Himself. Think of the compassion and the love of God that He's had for us. Think about these things. Think about how good the Lord is. Think about how good He is to give us His Son, and should that not motivate us to do what's right for Him? He deserves it. He deserves the honor. He deserves to... Everything I have, you say, but, you know, didn't you work hard? And maybe you're thinking, I've worked hard, and maybe you have, and it's good. It can be a very good thing to work hard. But who has given us the strength to work hard? Who has given us the employment to work hard at? who has given us the life. One man said this. He said, if we are alive and not in hell, we have nothing to complain about. We deserve to be born and to die and to go to hell because of our sin and Adam's sin. We deserve judgment. And yet, God, what mercy He's had upon us. He's allowed us to be justified by faith alone, and our sins are forgiven. I, who deserve to go to hell, don't have to go to hell. I, who was on my way to hell in sin, not caring or thinking about God, doing my own thing, God came to me and arrested me out of love. He didn't have to do any of that. But God did it. Oh, and think about how good He is to us and how much we owe Him and how much we should want to serve Him. And may God help us, because I know I struggle with these things. We struggle with these things. And we need God to help us to have hearts that are after His heart and desires and motives that are after His desire and motives. Desires and motives, I should say. Now here, I want to ask you another question tonight in dealing with motives. I want to ask you, this is a very important question. I want you to think, as you sit here, I want you to think this. I want you to think of all the selfish ambition you may have, pride that you may have. Maybe at times you're tempted and you give in to simply read your Bible so you can tell everybody you've read your Bible then. Maybe you're tempted to go out and try to help someone just to be looking good. Maybe you're tempted, whatever it might be in Christian service, you're tempted to do it, and maybe you do give in to it sometimes, not for the good motives and good reasons. You give in and you do even a good thing at times for the wrong motives. Praying, preaching, teaching, witnessing, trying to love your spouse, being good to your children. Maybe you want people to say, that is the greatest parent I've ever seen. And you don't do it because, at least at that moment, because you love your children or anything. You don't do it at that moment because you love God. You're doing it because you want everybody to know what a great parent you are. You want to be praised by other people. And I want you to think about all those times, I want you to think about all those motives, and remove yourself from it at this time. Just remove yourself. Take all those motives away. Whatever there might be, how sinful they might be, I want you to remove yourself from these evil motives. And here's the question. After you have removed yourself from these things, you're not doing it for you. Now I want you to think, after you've removed yourself from these things, here's the question. How much true desire to serve God remains now? After we have removed ourselves from all these prideful ambitions that are in our hearts sometimes, how much desire now do we have to preach and pray and to do good to others? Not because of us, but because they're in need. Because of God. You see, this can search our heart. Once we have let ourselves loose of all these prideful things, how much true zeal do we have for God now, once we are out of the equation? How much true passion do we have to reach the lost now that we're not trying to be praised as the greatest evangelist of our generation? How much of that lives within us? Oh, how much pride we have at times. How much pride do I have at times? And yet it goes undetected sometimes. And how much do we need to repent? Because on some level at least, each and every one of us are motivated by nothing but pride and sin at times. What do we need to do? Well, first of all, we need to recognize what's really motivating us. And if we're motivated by pride, we're motivated by selfish ambition, we need to repent of these things. And we need to see how much good motivation do I really have. And by God's grace, when we start to see how much we're really motivated for the right reasons, what do we need to do? We need to ask God to help us. And we need to build on a foundation that is true. And begin to build upon a zeal that's true. And to begin to build upon a passion for God and for man that is true. And not to continue to build upon the kingdom of our imagination and of our hearts. As we're tempted to do, aren't we? We're tempted in this thing. And once we see where our real motivations lie, we need to say, God, it may be small, but God, it is real, and it is from You. And I ask You, God, to set my heart aflame for what matters. To set my heart aflame for my brothers and sisters. To set my heart aflame for the lost. To set my heart aflame above everything else for the name that is above all names. Jesus Christ, and for His glory. And we need to ask Him, Lord, make my zeal real. Make my passion real. Make my heart in line with Your heart. So what is our motivation tonight? I think this is one reason that George Whitefield was used so much by God. I'm not saying it's the only reason. But I think it's one reason that the 18th century evangelist was used so much by God is because, of course, he struggled with pride. But after reading and continuing to read about him, this was a man who was after the glory of God and the good of man. This was a man who was consumed. And it's, at least as far as I know, on his deathbed, he said, let my name die with me. He didn't want a great movement after him. He didn't want these things. He didn't want a great monument built for him. He wanted his name to die with him. Why? Because he did not want his name praised. He wanted God's name to be praised. And I can't help to think, this is not always the case, but I can't help to think what maybe some people who are in the ministry, and it just seems like the blessing of God is not on them, that maybe many times, again, not always, not at all always, but maybe many times their motives are so corrupt that God will not bless their efforts because God will not share His glory with another person. So tonight, we look at this simple question tonight. Where's our motivation at? Is it for the good of people? Is it for the glory of God? Is it for Him, for what He's done for us? Or are we consumed with ourselves, as we all are tempted at some times to be consumed with ourselves? And if that's the case, let us bow our hearts and say, oh God, forgive me. Make me into the Christian You want me to be. Make my motives pure before You, because You know my heart. And You're going to judge my heart and my actions one day. And let us be able to say that God has helped us. I'll tell you this. If you ask God for help, God will help you. He will come to your aid in His time and His way. He will help you. And I can testify to this, that when I go to God and I really go to Him and I mean it, God is there, and it still amazes me how God answers. It still amazes me how God delivers and how God will answer what you ask Him. And He'll do it even beyond what we can imagine.